Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. Today we're going to find out what are the important differences between marketing and branding and how they should play well together. One is not like the other. And my guest today, by the way, I'm Denise Griffiths, I'm your host, and Natasha E. Davis, who is my guest today and who is affectionately known as the Chief Visionary, is going to answer those questions for us. Natasha, I said it wrong, even though I asked how to say it. Natasha, I am so sorry, is a baccalaureate prepared registered nurse certified in emergency and trauma nursing for over 12 years. And then she emerged as a branding strategist and corporate trainer in 2007 with the launch of her third company, Impact Branding Consulting Incorporated. Her specialty is helping executives, entrepreneurs, and companies create brands that have a lasting impact. She thrives on fixing problems and eliminating frustrations for companies and their executives. Natasha is also the author of Get Grounded, Stay Grounded, and Unleash Your Millionaire Mindset and Create, Build Your Brand, and was recognized and awarded as a Woman of Outstanding Leadership and Georgia Excellence Award in Marketing. So today, as I mentioned above, Natasha is going to share what is branding and when should it be created for the business, how does the architecture of brand get developed, and why does brand architecture matter? Good morning, Natasha. It's good to have you here. We had a terrific conversation in the pre-call, and I'm really excited to have you here today.
Well, good morning, Denise. Thank you so much. I'm excited as well to be here. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, Natasha, whichever, just call me. I'm there. So it's all good.
What is it about names? Like I was telling you in the green room, I'm the oldest of a bunch of kids, and we started out with the Denise, you know, the D's rather, Denise, Diane, Debbie. I answered all three. I've never learned actually apparently what my real name is. So I completely
just respond to all.
I do. My mother would say, Denise, Diane, Debbie, damn it, you know your name. And we would just look at her and
you
say, yeah, but
name.
Do you? Yeah. And I have a brother who cannot spell my name. I know when a package has landed on my doorstep, he has spelled it D-E-N-I-C-E all of his life. So he'll try to sneak something past me, but I know he can't spell my name, so I know it's him. Tricky.
You know it's him. I know that's right. Yeah, I have a couple of names myself in my family. And so believe me, I understand multiple names, but again, I do have the mom that she's calling, and she's like, I can't remember who it is, but yeah, I'm looking at you, so you know it's you. Come here. And I'm like, well, you didn't really call my name specifically. Are you sure you
I
want
know.
Me?
It just sounds so much like my family. We just go with it. What are you going to do, right?
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
Just respond accordingly.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So listen, tell people a bit about yourself that I may have missed, anything important that I may have missed while I introduce you. And then let's get down to the, you know, the bucket list here, marketing, branding. And my question is, and what I really want you to develop for me here is how they need to work together. So let's rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you covered everything. As previously, my first profession as a registered nurse, absolutely loved it. And that profession, that journey actually framed me, prepared me, and built me to be the businesswoman I am today. And the skill set that I implement in my day-to-day operations, my ability to assess and to solve and to create, and also to not get freaked out when things don't go as planned. So me being a nurse actually catapulted me to be the businesswoman that I am today, to be able to get the results that I do get with my clients today. The only other thing that probably we didn't put on the table or talked about was I am a problem solver by nature. So whenever I see a problem, I'm always seeking to find how do I fix it. And so because of that, I developed an app about 3-4 years ago, called the profit enhancer, because what I found in the consulting industry is there was way too much guesswork and we took too long to get results. And I was tired of that because I'm always thinking, well, how can we get there quicker? As an old ER nurse, I'm like, let's go, let's go. So I found a solution, and I found that by development of an app. Now, I didn't actually build the app. I hired a developer, but the principles and the whole operations and functionality behind the app, I created that coming from a space of being a solution provider.
Oh, I completely understand your mindset. I'm the same way. You know, I've often heard people say, oh, well, you know, men are problem solvers, and you know, my eyes are going to get stuck from being rolled up in my head so often. Like, no, we are. Everybody can be a problem solver if that's their, you know, their natural bent. But I need to ask you, I'm fascinated with this conversation. How did you go from being a nurse to being a consultant? I mean, and my point is going to be, I'm going to make it right now, that we learn skills in life that are transferable. And I think a lot of people are finding that now. Skills are in, you know, very transferable if you're paying attention. But how did you make that journey?
You know, that journey actually happened. I was fighting it a little bit. And then when I stopped fighting, I didn't know what to do with myself. So while working as a nurse and I'm in the ER, because I'm an ER nurse and I'm loving what I did, I had this moment where I felt incomplete, but I also felt displaced. Because how could it be that you spent all these years to become a registered nurse, to become a trauma nurse, get certified, get recognized, be the best of the best? And now you don't want to do it anymore. You've lost your hunger for it. You want to do something else that's not even related. So I had a lot of struggles with that because I felt like I was a traitor, but I also felt like something was wrong with me because you didn't go to school to be a business person. You went to school to do nursing, and this is what I loved from a very young age. However, as time continued to evolve, I found that my purpose to being at the bedside in clinical as a registered nurse, I had completed that purpose in my journey on this universe, and it was time for me to transition over. So once I accepted that, I was able to happily transition over. Not only did I have to learn how to be a businesswoman, I spent a lot of time paying coaches and mentors, attending masterminds, going to classes, reading, went back to school, got a master's in business because I needed to understand the landscape of business. And once I got my feet wet and was able to understand the two dynamics, that's when I was able to mature into business and be able to merge my two skill sets together.
And see, that's a brilliant story. And I'm seeing more and more people fighting that transition, fighting that need to go do something else because, I mean, we've spent this time doing, building.
Yeah.
You know, why would we go do it? And I don't know about you, but, you know, my grandparents, they did one thing all of their lives and then died.
Right.
And I think a lot of us still have that same, I mean, we don't see it. We don't experience it. But we still have that same kind of mindset in the back of our heads, like, oh, you know, you go to work for the railroad company, you get your watch, you sit on the porch, and you die. Not true. It's
exactly.
Not at all true.
Not true.
But I know,
not
but
true.
I think a lot of us still have that in the back of our heads, you know, because it's, I don't know if it's something handed down that we just, you know, you always believe what's handed down to you, right, until you find out it's just garbage. But
it is.
The thing
it
is.
And it's a society thing. It's a society thing as well, because you think, well, you went to school to get this degree, especially you went to professional training. You went to school for how many years, got this degree. Well, you got it because this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Right.
And that's where I was sitting in this place of struggle. Like, you traitor, you backstabbing traitor. How could you leave nursing? How could you abandon your degree and your profession? And to be honest, I hid the fact that I was a registered nurse when I ventured into business. Like, I hid it.
Why?
It wasn't on my bio. It wasn't in my credentials. I hid the fact. And when I realized that that was actually an asset to me, that's when the floodgates opened, because I started putting it on the table and being open and transparent with the fact, you know what, I am a registered nurse and I'm a strategist and I can serve you in so many different ways, because as a nurse, I'm trained to be a solution provider, to be a critical thinker. I am trained. That's what my nature is trained. I'm trained to ask the questions and the difficult questions, but I'm also trained to get an end outcome. And that's what makes me really good at what I do and being able to serve my clients in that higher level. So I stopped running and I started embracing it, fully embracing it. And that's how I've been able to scale and to grow not only into myself, but also to be a better consultant and a better strategist for the clients that I've been blessed to serve.
I can't tell you how much I love this story. What sent you to branding? And I'm serious. I mean, I love to hear stories like this where people just say, I'm really good at what I do. I'm better at something else. I'm pretty well done with this one part of my life. It'll never be gone. It will always be a part of who I am and my skill set. But now I can take those same skill sets and turn them to another passion and help more people in a different way. I love this story. So how did you go, though, from nursing to branding consulting? Because that's I'm not following the trajectory, and I would love to hear that story.
So when I started in nursing and several years in, I actually, because I was involved in business, my father, may he rest in peace, was in business for himself since the age of 19 until he passed away at 70. And he's been in business pretty much all my life. So the only thing I knew was business. And he had this beautiful way of transferring his knowledge over to me and my siblings. And he would teach us about business, and he would teach us about principles. He would teach us the do's, the don'ts, the ups, the downs, and all that good stuff. And I started to get this really interesting hunger for business. And probably when I was just in my young 20s, I started to play in the business arena. And I got my hands wet in the arena, and my mind started to wrap around this business concept. Yet still, remember, I still knew I wanted to be in healthcare as a nurse. So everything that I did encompassed nursing. So my cousin and I, one day I called my cousin. We grew up together. I called my cousin. I said, I got an idea. And she's not in healthcare at all, but she's an excellent, I mean, this girl is a beast when it comes to financials and operations. And so I said, I have an idea. I want to start a personal care home, like a staffing agency, personal care home. And she was like, okay, good. You got the healthcare side and I have the ops. And I was like, let's do it. And so we started. That was the first time I ever put a plan for a business. And hear what I'm saying. I didn't say a business plan. A plan for a business on paper. That was my first experience. Yeah, my first experience doing that. Why did I say it that way? I said it that way because I did not actually implement the plan for that business. I didn't know all of the components I should have had. So therefore, I put bits and pieces what I think should be there, but I didn't have enough knowledge, nor did she, to actually complete an entire business plan. Because I'll tell you what the funny story is, we never even had marketing in there. Nothing marketing. We had who we were going to take care of. We had what we were going to charge. We had whose role was what. But I remember that. And we met. We knew how to have a meeting. I can tell you that.
Right.
But we had nothing that had to do with mobilizing the business because at that time, at the young, healthy, happy age in our young 20s, we just thought we'll build it and they will come.
Exactly.
I mean, why wouldn't
they?
And
listen. When I first started building websites, you know, I took off and, you know, I got rid of my business and I worked during the day and went to school at night, got my computer science degree. Marketing didn't really exist unless you hired a marketing firm, you know, the old-fashioned marketing firm.
Right.
They still exist, but they have pivoted, I hate that word, along with the rest of us. But online marketing and, you know, the things that we just take for granted now did not exist at that time. I remember when JCPenney put up something on Twitter, I was like, oh, I didn't know. It was just there on Twitter. It was the funniest thing. But same thing. Mm-hmm. I would hear all the time, you build it, they will come. And that's what that was our marketing. You build the website, they will come. Guess what?
They'll
not
come.
So much. And now, really not. You have to market it. I'm loving the story.
So,
keep going.
So we went down this journey, and so here's the kicker. So once I got out of that, and then I realized we were pretty much stuck. Okay, we got this whole thing together, but we were stuck because we really didn't know how to move it And so fast forward a couple of years in, when I ventured into business, I said to myself, I remember my father had reached out to me, and I said to myself, I said, you know, I need to get it. There's missing pieces of the puzzle to this business thing. And that's exactly what I said to my dad. There's missing pieces, you know, of the puzzle to this business thing. And I need to wrap my head around it. Again, my brain just works like that. I want to understand all components. So I ventured in and I started out focusing heavily on marketing. That's how I started. I started in marketing. I'm going to do marketing. I dove deep into marketing. I went and I took a lot of classes to understand how to move a business, how to take my business and put it in front of people. That's really what marketing is. I got to let people know I'm here. So how do I take my business and put it in front of people? And so I spent a lot of time in trainings and classes and workshops and reading, just educating myself on what marketing is. And once I got a hold of that, I then realized, hold on a second, there's something that comes before marketing. And that's when I realized it's branding. See, because I wanted to know why when people marketed and did what they had in their mind, they thought they would do right, why is it that it didn't work? Why didn't my marketing work? Why didn't the advertising work? How come the customers didn't come in? How come the calls didn't happen?
Because nobody knew you.
Why?
You had no name recognition, would be my guess. Is it because there was no real name recognition?
Exactly. You threw all this money at talking to a marketplace that did not know you, or they did not even want what you had. So you spent all this energy and time pushing a product or a service to a body of people who didn't even want what you had. They had no intention on purchasing because they don't want what you're offering. And when I sat back and I said, hold on, we need to start from the beginning. So I went back to my nursing process. We need to start from the beginning. What is the cause? What is the cause and the effect, right? So here's what I'll tell you. Branding has been around since like the 1950s, long before the 1950s, but it gained respect in the 50s. Branding gained respect in the 50s, but it only gained respect in the large corporate arena. Small
businesses. Right, Natasha, I'm thinking cigarettes and things like that. The Marlboro Man.
Correct.
Is that about the right? Okay.
Correct. Exactly. Target, Marlboro, Kmart, right? Woolworth. Y'all remember Woolworth? Woolworth got it. Kodak. Those guys were the big boys. They were the trendsetters in branding. And so large companies understood branding. They knew that they had to have a brand strategy because in order for me to move my business forward, I had to know where I was going and who I was talking to first. So branding comes before marketing. Marketing comes before advertising. Here's what happens in the small business sector. No one brands. Everyone starts to advertise and then market. They never get around to branding until they've lost a lot of money or they realize, okay, this is not working. And unfortunately, I'm talking about 10 to 15 years down the road.
Oh.
Small businesses realize, oh, no wonder why this isn't working. They do a lot of microwave marketing. They do a lot of let me get on every social platform. I'm going to have an extra pretty logo, an extra pretty website. I'm going to have I'm going to do a bunch of Facebook Lives and IG Lives and podcasts and blogs. I'm going to do everything because this is what I was told to do. But they never took time to brand. They never built awareness and preference so that they could have profitability. So I can't position myself to the right market if I never knew who the right market was to begin with.
And that takes me right back to name recognition. I mean, you can have the prettiest widget out there, the prettiest website, whatever it is, and if I don't know you, like you, or trust you, I'm going to skate on down the road.
I'm going to skate right down the road because I don't know you. I don't know if you even know what I want. All you care about is doing what, taking my money. And see, that's the thing in business that we do have to be mindful of, especially in the consulting arena. The thing we have to be very mindful of is that we place ourselves in the mindset of the individuals that says what? I'm here to help, not to hinder. I'm here to give, not to take. And that is the place that we have to stand in as consultants, regardless of which consulting firm model you have, right? You have to be in a place where you communicate to the marketplace, I am here to help, not to hinder. I'm here to give, not to take. And that is a heart space that we have to be in as a business.
Oh, I agree with you. And I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody come to me and say, okay, I need this website. I need this, that, and the other. And by the time I'm through with them, they didn't need any of that. They needed the website, but not in the form or content that they thought they needed because, and you already know what I'm going to say, they were trying to do it by the numbers. You know that's what they were thinking. I've got to sell this many, products or apps or consults, whatever it is. It was all Excel sheet, put an Excel spreadsheet. Yes. That's what they were basing. Not going to work. It's never worked. It's not going to work. Not for small businesses.
And it's not going to. Correct.
No.
Correct.
No.
One thing I'll say is oftentimes, and don't get me wrong, those that you're listening, I know you might be taking notes and so forth. They're just mentally digesting what's happening in your own firm. We're not saying that you shouldn't focus on the dollar because you're not in business to make money. You're in business to make money, right? So, but there's an exchange. There's a healthy exchange. You're going to help or bring a resolution, and in exchange for bringing a resolution, you'll be compensated for that. So there's a healthy exchange. So it is, yes, you do have to focus on the infrastructure, the finances of a business, but the core and the heart space has to really be about serving the client where they are. If your company doesn't have what's called an inclusion-exclusion criteria that you adhere to, then something is wrong. And I mean that when you're looking at your brand and you're looking at your business model and you're looking at your clients, if you don't have a space where it says this is not the type of client that we take care of, if you don't have an exclusion criteria, something's wrong. Because you're not able to serve every client. As much as everyone needs what we do at Impact Branding, it is not for everyone. We don't work with everyone. So we have an inclusion-exclusion criteria. Your company has to have an inclusion and an exclusion criteria. What type of client will you not work with, and for what reason? Some things it could be, and again, this ties back to your brand, your model. Some things could be, you know what, because of our price point, because of this level of service we bring, we cannot work with a company that growth is less than X dollars per year. Not because they're not, they shouldn't get the service. It's because they can't afford it, and you're not going to try to sell ice to an Eskimo. Don't try to sell ice to an Eskimo, right?
Exactly. And it can be something as simple as my criteria for taking on a website client or a consulting client, because a lot of what I do is consulting. I'm not doing business consulting. But everything I do in terms of social media marketing and website, I'm consulting deeply with the clients, trying to figure out what it is that they're, how they're going to help people. And I've actually had this conversation where this one particular person said, but I want to work with you. I've heard you're the best. I really want to work with you. What does it take?
Yeah.
And I'm ashamed to say, I had to say to her, I have to like you. And I didn't. And there was no way.
That's always important.
It is important. But she finally just nagged me into it, and I didn't like her product. I didn't like her. There was no way I was going to work with her. It's a tough conversation to have, but you cannot take on clients that your gut says, run. Just don't do it.
Don't do it. Exactly. Exactly. Don't do it. So that is the journey of, branding. And if I could, kind of educate some more, I like to make things real simple, uncomplicate things for people. When you talk about branding, and I mentioned this in my book, Be Unleashed, when we talk about branding, think of it like this. When you talk about developing your brand, here's the goal for your brand. It's being relevant around now decisions. When you are positioning your brand, your entire goal for your brand is that you're being relevant around now decisions. What are now decisions? Now I need, maybe now I need a consultant for my restaurant business. Now I need a CPA. Now I need an operations person. Now I need a website. Now I need graphics. You want to be relevant around now decisions. So when you're developing your brand and you're looking at it, a healthy goal for your brand is that you're relevant around now decisions. The other thing we have to understand with branding, and you guys are taking notes, take this note. Branding is the promise. What do you promise your marketplace? When they enter your circle, when they enter your doors, your sphere, what do you promise to every single customer, regardless if you extend them a discount or not? And that's the key thing. Don't mistreat a client if you agreed to extend a discount. The client is supposed to still get the same level of service that you promised them. They can't be considered unimportant in comparison to your full paying clients. Why? Because you agreed to discount the dollar amount of your service. So you can't mistreat that. So what is the promise for every single client? When you talk about then rolling into marketing, marketing is the psychological aspect of business. It turns the promise into revenue. This is how you position the brand. You position it through marketing, right? Think of the verb, action. So marketing turns the promise into revenue. Now, advertising mobilizes the message to the masses. And you think of advertising as the equalizer. So if you start to mobilize a message to the masses and you're trying to grow a company, it's not going to work because you're talking to everyone as opposed to your ideal client and your niche market.
Why,
so branding
why is
a strategy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Then I have a question.
Yes. Okay, so I just wanted to reiterate, just in case someone missed it, branding is the strategy. It is the promise you're making to every single customer. Marketing turns the promise into revenue. That's the psychological aspect of business. That's how you position a brand. You get people to say yes to you. Advertising then mobilizes the message to the masses, and that is considered the equalizer.
Perfect. Okay, so I actually had someone just pop up and say, okay, I'm confused. Isn't marketing advertising? We've covered it a bit, but break it down a little bit more if you don't mind.
So what was the question?
The question
is
I'm confused. Yeah, I thought marketing was the same as advertising, and clearly it's not.
Oh,
so
that's perfect question.
Yeah, let's clean
Thank
that one up a bit.
That. Yes, let me help you all to understand and to clean that up. Yes, a lot of people, unfortunately, have been duped to think that advertising is the same thing as marketing, and it's not. So let me explain to you what the marketing piece of the puzzle is. Marketing is the piece of the puzzle that you're saying, okay, I want to go ahead and I want to take this message and I want to put it into a particular area. Marketing will be how do I take my promise and let people know I'm available. Marketing will be where you go to networking events and you communicate to people, here's who I am. You know, when you do your 30-second, when you're at one of these networking events, marketing will be when you are just randomly putting content out on your social media pages. Marketing will be the things that you do when you are wearing your logoed shirt and you're just walking around. And you're telling somebody, ask you, who am I and what do you do? Marketing is how you put your, how you let people know, hey, I'm here. But marketing also allows you to narrow down the conversation because in marketing, I can take this message and I can dwindle it down and speak specifically to an audience. Key. Here's the difference with advertising. Advertising is a paid form of messaging. You pay to play. Now, I will advertise, and here's where the issue then comes in. Oftentimes, people will use advertising to ramp up sales. Advertising just creates recognition. It is through marketing that you begin to create credibility and trust. Advertising does not create trust. Advertising just creates recognition. So when you pay for a billboard or you pay to be featured on the column on one of the social media pages, you pay for it. Remember, you're going to be tagged as either sponsored ad or something along those lines, okay? When people look at something like that, do people say, oh, my gosh, because you paid for an ad, I trust you, okay,
no.
I'm gonna give you my money? No.
Nope. In fact, it actually turns me off.
It turns you off, doesn't it? You paid to play. You paid to get positioned here. You paid to get this recognition. So you can say whatever you want, which is true. You can say whatever you want because you paid for that spot. So you can put out an ad that says, we are the best of the best. We are the best of the best, and that's it. But you paid for that information to be said. So therefore, advertising is a place where you allow yourself to be seen. It does not give you the ability to be credible or trusted. That is the big difference, and that's why most people get confused with the two.
Absolutely. I mean, I caught myself getting confused in the early days, and then I realized that one was not like the other. Didn't take long either,
right?
Because the results were awful. I mean, it's like, okay, what's going on
here? It's right, because you spend a lot of money, though. You spend a lot of money trying to grab your audience, and what you're doing is you're trying to pay your way into their hearts. And it's just like any other relationship. You're building a relationship with your client base and your marketplace, right? You can't buy your way into my heart. That's like if it's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. I don't like you. I never did. But I'm going to keep buying stuff to hope that you'll love me. That's the same thing as advertising. You use advertising to get recognition. That's all.
I love the
all
way you think.
All you're doing is saying, hey, I'm here. Yeah. I'm your boyfriend, and you don't like me, but I'm going to keep buying you diamonds and pearls, and you'll love me eventually. Meanwhile, you're looking at the window washer man because he's been so polite, and so he's always present. It's the same thing. You can't buy your way into the hearts of your customers. Now, what you can do, and here's a beautiful thing. This is why I say branding comes before marketing, marketing before advertising. For people that are thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to enter into this new market. Okay, I'm going to a new state, I'm going to enter into a new market. And let's pick person A and person B, company A, company B. Company A purchases a bunch of ads in several publications. They pay for radio advertisements and all that good stuff. That's company A. They've never been in the market before. No one knows them, but they're paying their way in. Then you have company B. Company B says, you know what, we know we, based on our brand, based on where we're going, based on the promise, based on the strategy, we know that we want to open the market in this particular state. So we're going to invest the next 6 months of doing what? Showing up. Let's
exactly.
Just show up. Let's not keep asking for you to give me money. Let's show up. And I'll show up, and I'll be in your lives. I'll be in your minds. I will have gotten into your hearts over 6 months. And I promise you that the company B will have a better return on investment than company A. Company A will spend a lot of money, and the return on investment will be significantly low. Now, if you spent the time to market first, get recognition first, get your feet wet in there, let people recognize you, then you can spend money to advertise, because what you're doing is mobilizing the message.
Exactly. And you're explaining it with such simplicity and so eloquently, you would think that people would just automatically understand this. They don't. I didn't. And I like to think I'm a fairly smart cookie. I didn't get it. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? Which is why I have you on my
exactly.
show. So, Natasha, but
exactly.
this leads me, my brain just took off on a slightly different pathway. One of the things that if you've done it right, your architecture is in place and you're out there playing the long game, which so many people don't want to do. They don't want to spend that 6 months. They want to just get in there and, you know, make those advertisements and then, you know, complain bitterly when, you know, their advertising person comes and says, well, that kind of sucked. You want to, you know, re-up, we'll do a slightly different radio jingle or whatever the heck it is. And they'll
get talked into.
Let's
get some more of your money.
Yeah. We'll go in a slightly different direction, but it's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work about as well as putting an ad on a bus bench. They don't work either. But people are sitting on them. They can't see them. And who can read a bus bench when you're zooming past? That's a whole nother gripe. But here's the thing, referrals matter. So my thinking is following you along, the whole architecture is there. You've developed your people, if you will. You've developed your audience. And now that your audience is buying from you or hiring you or whatever it is that you're asking them to do, then wouldn't the natural development from there be to ask for referrals? Because now you have a happy people. You have a happy group of people who should become your brand ambassadors. Or am I just off base?
No. You're on the right track. In order for me to ask for you to trust me enough to refer me, right, I had to be in your heart space at some point. So you're correct. I have to be able to be seen and recognized by you, right, before you can trust me. People are using paid advertisement to garner trust.
No.
And that's not going to happen. It won't happen. So here are a couple of things. You use advertising to remind, inform, and persuade, right? That's what you use. So when I like to use a lot of acronyms because people tend to remember, but I always give two sides. So when you think of advertising, you use advertising to RIP, rip into the market, remind, inform, persuade. You do the opposite with marketing because it's more of a strategy. You pimp your marketing. You plan it. You implement it. You have to monitor it. And your least favorite word, but my best word, is to pivot. If you are putting, it distinguishes your uniqueness. Using marketing will distinguish your uniqueness. It will show you, it will allow you to show up. Relationship marketing, transactional marketing, and cause marketing. That's how you have to position based on your industry. You pimp your marketing, you rip into the market for advertising. Remind, inform, and persuade is what you're doing with advertising. You're going to pimp your marketing because you have to plan it. Where am I going to go? Who am I talking to? What am I going to say? Good example. Let's say, for instance, you don't outline anything that's related to the brand of your company, right? It doesn't have a voice. When you have no brand, it has no voice. It has no identity. So let's say you don't have a brand. You then decide, screw the marketing. I need to get into the market ASAP, quick, fast. And then you go spend the money to advertise somewhere, right? You're advertising to the wrong market because your product was designed or your service was initially designed for a different market. So here's what will happen. You will actually onboard the wrong type of client. Or you will end up onboarding clients who will complain about the service or product they're getting. Why? Because they never really wanted it anyway. That's not what would solve their problem. When you can clearly articulate the pain points for your audience, your business will soar. Your business has to be about them. Not about you.
Right. So I can't even tell you how.
The pain point.
Yeah, I can't even tell you how many times I've had to have that conversation with my clients and with myself. Because, you know, we get an idea and it's brilliant, right? It's perfect.
Yes. It's amazing.
So now you have to sell the darn thing. So.
Right. And then you figure, why wouldn't they love it?
I know.
Well,
you can't get your feelings hurt.
It doesn't solve their problem. Yeah, you can't.
That's exactly right.
You've got to come back. You always want to come back to this here. You come back to the space of, is this what they want? If you can just spend time asking your marketplace the right questions. Here's a question. When you think of, let's say, perfect website development. When you think of website development, what does that mean to you? See, and let me tell you something. That is a perfect question because when you have a marketplace that has a very different perspective of what it is that you do, you try to tell them different. which is why I spend a lot of time in education marketing. I do a lot of education marketing and relationship marketing. That's just how I choose my business to run. When I do education marketing and relationship marketing, I do not have to invest a lot in paid advertisement. So my advertisement budget is very low because I spend more energy doing education marketing and relationship marketing.
But
I have a much lower ad budget.
Oh, I would think. I do the same. It, to me, if people feel like they can connect with you, with your company, with you personally, with whatever it is that you are fronting, they're a lot more liable to invest with you. And it may take a while before they get to that comfort level. But if you are treating them right and you're giving them tips, advice, you know, you're helping them out and you're not asking them for the sale, it's just, it follows that they're going to go, I'm going to go to Natasha first. You know, I haven't ever really connected with her, but I've been watching her for a long time. I really like how she presents. I like how helpful she is. I'm going to talk to Natasha. That's the way it is these days.
That's the way it is because people want to know what you care about. And I'll give you guys a perfect example with education marketing. On YouTube, I do a series called Five Simple Steps. Five simple steps. And what I talk about are five simple steps to branding. Branding, what that entails, right? When you think of the whole scope, and believe me, don't get me wrong, branding is a beast. It's a beast. And so I enjoy uncomplicating this complicated aspect of business. Branding is very complex, especially in the small business arena, because it is relatively new compared to the large corporations. I don't have to educate my large corporations on what I do and my value and what branding is. I really don't. They know exactly what they want, and they're signing contracts, and they're ready to go. The small business community, I have learned, needs a little bit more education. So on YouTube, I do a series called Five Simple Steps. And I remember I got this random call from this woman from another state. And she said, I found you on YouTube, and I have been watching endless videos of you on your Five Simple Steps series. I am ready to engage your services. And I said, oh, okay, well, let's go down. She goes, listen, you don't have to do the dog and pony show for me. Send me the contract. Let's go. She goes, I've already seen what you can do. So when I tell you education marketing is advantageous, not only to you as a company, but also to your marketplace, because you're spending time to help them in some way. And when they're ready, being relevant around now decisions, she had a now decision and she knew this is what I needed. That was a $10,000 client. I didn't have to do anything. I mean, I didn't even have to sell myself. I mean, I said, well, could you let me work a little bit for the sale? I mean, let me smooth you a little bit here. Let me tell you about all my accomplishments and my ability to help you and the results we get. Let me give you a refer. She goes, I don't need all that. I've gotten what I need. She goes, I've been following you. I've seen you. And I've never spoken to the woman. It was about 8 months later that I actually met her face to face.
I've had those conversations. And I'm laughing because I've had that same reaction. Somebody will call me because they've been watching me or they were referred. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, okay, they'll say, well, you know, when do we start? Hang on, don't you want to know what it costs? No, when do we start? And I'm just floored every time that happens. It happened last week. I'm, you know, finalizing something on Monday. And it happened on Facebook. Somebody referred me on Facebook. We started chatting on Facebook. We called that night. Mm-hmm. Monday we finalized. It was that easy, but she was ready to go. So it was now marketing
ready
and
to go.
Huge referrals. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It so
and those
guys,
are the best kind. They're the best.
Those are, because at least you know, there's an expectation that's been set and everyone knows who's on first, who's on second, who does what. And that's really important. Over the years in business, I've been in business for going on 18 years and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to still be in business because some did not survive. What I will say to you is one of the things I've learned over the course of years in business, and believe me, I've made a ton of mistakes. I've made a ton of mistakes and I've learned from each one because that's how we evolve. That's how we grow. But one of the things that you want to be clear about is always setting clear expectations and getting a clear understanding. Understand down to the T in your client's words, what do they want? What is it that they expect? What at the end of this arrangement, what is it you're expecting to walk away with, right? And then you as the business owner, you want to set clear expectations as well as what you will do and what you won't do. You don't want to dance around this, because if you can get everything taken care of up front, you won't have those uncomfortable, messy conversations down the road, and you won't end up coming across either buyer's remorse or client acquisition remorse, right? Because you didn't took the wrong client. So spend time in up front getting clear understanding about your client's desires, what they expect, what they need. There is a method of when you're talking about solidifying a deal with a client, it's called, you have to go through what's called BANT, B-A-N-T. Understand their budget, understand their ability, understand their needs, and understand the time frame of results. If you don't have BANT cleared and checked off, check it off, you're going to have issues as you go down the road, because somebody's going to think, well, you know what, Denise, I thought you was going to do my website and my search engine optimization, because I saw that somewhere, and I'm sure other website people do that. And when I signed with you, I could have sworn I mentioned that, and you said you would do all my search engine optimization and my keywords and everything. And meanwhile,
that's
Denise,
why I record everything. Everything is recorded. And we'll talk about creep in a minute.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second. So when we talk about BANT up front, what is your budget? Because here's the thing. If you don't have the budget for this, then you're going to start service and end service right at the cusp of us getting things started, or you're just going to drop service and run for the hills. Your abilities. What is your ability? Do you have manpower? What can you do? What can't you do? What's your availability when I need to talk to you on the phone? Right? And also the need. Tell me exactly what you need. And then tell me what is your expectation of time frame for delivery. See, because if you know it's going to take 4 months to turn something around, and I'm just throwing numbers out, guys. I don't know how long it takes Denise to do anything. I'm just using an example. If Denise knows internally it takes 4 months to go from start to finish with a website, but the client is thinking, because she saw it somewhere that you can get a website up in 2 weeks, she's walking around, or he or she's walking around with this concept, I can get this website from start to finish in 2 weeks. And if that never gets addressed, you're going to have issues, because they're going to be knocking your doors, ringing your bells, calling your phone, sending emails. How come this isn't done, and this is not what I paid for, and I want more, more, more? So you want to set those expectations. So think BANT when you are online onboarding new clients.
Absolutely. And always, always consider scope creep. No matter what kind of work you're doing, there's always going to be that something that didn't get addressed. It should have, but it didn't. So your list is perfect for that. Or, you know, I don't know about you, but I over-deliver constantly, and I'm constantly smacking myself in the head for it. It's like, this was done.
Because you have a heart. You have a heart
this
for
was
your
done.
Clients and a heart for what to do.
You know, it's like, this was done 6 weeks ago, but, you know, I found something cool, so I'm going to add it. It's like, oh, geez, move on to the next thing. But I know, but I'll tell you, my clients, most of them have been with me a decade or better. They don't mind. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. But there's always going to be scope creep. And, you know, I'm going to warn all of you right now, never, ever try to change the agreements of your contract. If you didn't get the information and you are faced with a lot of extra work that you didn't expect, you're going to have to eat it. It's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. You didn't address it up front. That is perfect. So that is the overall, that's the skinny on it. I mean, there's more to it, but this is the short version, the skinny on branding and things of that nature. And when you're talking about positioning your brand, always remember, it doesn't matter what size company you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in business. It doesn't even matter what industry you're in. There are five phases to brand positioning. And there are companies that have tried to circumvent the five phases, jump ahead, skip around, and it costs you way too much. So always remember this when it comes to brand positioning. In order for your brand to be positioned correctly and cost effectively, always start with awareness. I must stimulate awareness about my brand. I cannot purchase you and refer you if I don't know you. So awareness is phase one. Once you get through awareness, you will then get into what's called recognition. I will now recognize your brand. So I can't recognize you if I've never been made aware of you. You're not important. I don't know you. So awareness and then recognition. Once I recognize you as a customer, I can make the choice to use you. That's usage. I can then use you. So think of this. I can't use you if I don't recognize you, and I can't recognize you if I've never been made aware of you. All right, number four, you become a preference. Now, here's the critical part. In usage, if you don't serve in excellence, you will not become a preference. So usage is really important. That's like that in between, that make or break place. Once I make a decision as a customer to use your product or use your service, if I don't have a good experience or if I don't get the results that I need, I will not prefer you. I am done with you, right? But if I do get the experience I'm looking for and above, and you do meet my needs and I get the results I need, now you become a preference, which is number four, the fourth phase. It is in the place of preference that you have to nurture your customers even more. Why? Because now you have to consider in this marketplace, someone else wants a piece of your customer's wallet share. This is where you have to start paying attention to wallet share. Someone else wants a piece of your customer, and your customer is going to be at a place of, let me see, do I choose them or do I choose you? So preference is where you have to nurture and really take care of your customers as well. And once you have achieved preference and you continue to serve in excellence, you will then come to a place of loyalty, which is brand loyalty. That is where you have equity, and that is where true massive profitability exists. Because now you have customers that not only will stay with you and come back to you, but you now have customers that become your walking billboards. So the five phases of brand positioning: awareness, recognition, usage, preference, and loyalty. Don't try to jump one from the other because you will lose money. You will waste time. This is across the board. This is standard strategy. I didn't make this stuff up. I wish I did. I would have been a billionaire by now. I didn't make this stuff up. This is the standard principles of brand positioning. Large companies have tried to circumvent this by doing what? Buying their way into a market. Small companies have tried it and failed. Everyone had to retreat and come back to the drawing board.
And that absolutely makes sense. And, you know, when it's tried, true, tested, don't mess with it. You know, just do what you're supposed
don't mess
to
with
do.
It. Yeah.
But I want to go back to your YouTube because you're talking about the five simple steps and, you know, how mm-hmm. this client, you became a client. But it occurred to me that people who are in your arena, you know, they're doing what you're doing, and this is the heart part of your business, I suspect, that you don't mind if they're watching you and learning from you. They should be watching you and learning mm-hmm. from you because it doesn't do anybody any good, doesn't do your industry any good if a bunch of ill-equipped people are out there muddying the waters.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just looking at your business and always remembering that positioning your business is not a one-time thing. Serving your customer is not a one-time thing. Marketing your business is not a one-time thing. It is a consistent, ongoing process. You have to be able to look at what you're doing on a daily basis and explore how do we make things better. How do we improve? ourselves. And this was a talk I did a couple weeks ago at a conference where we talked about, you know, bringing the power of agility to brand positioning. And that's a whole other layer. That's where we dive deep into asking yourself those key performance questions and developing key performance indicators. Developing a business that's going to be scalable requires your absolute undivided attention. It can't be here or there. Looking at your business, looking at your brand, looking at your model, as you're developing more products and services, knowing how these products and services relate to the company, relate to the brand promise, the mission and the vision of the business, making sure that you only develop products and services that are in line with the mission and vision. You want to use your brand to make decisions about day-to-day operations.
That's a good point. Right. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I have all of these skills. I have all of this knowledge. I need to share all of it. You really don't.
Yeah.
You need to be very, I mean, and I'm not saying, you know, just, you know, stuff it in the closet and leave it. There are other ways to mm-hmm. show up with those skills, but don't confuse your audience. Don't confuse your consumers. They're not going to appreciate it.
Yes, I love it. Don't confuse your audience. There's a saying that, you know, I have, you know, in my mind and in my head, and I say this often with, you know, a lot of people as I talk to them. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And here's what I want everyone to kind of just internalize and to deep dive through. Just because, let's say, for instance, you kind of stumbled on being able to throw a website together, okay? You can put a couple words and all that other stuff, right? Just because you can build a website doesn't mean you, the CPA accounting firm, should start offering services to build a website. You should not.
Preach it. Go.
Right? So here we go. Just because I, you know, impact branding, we do, you know, financial forensic analysis, but we don't do accounting. We're not accountants. We're not CPAs. That's not what we do. We collaborate and partner with CPAs to do that type of part, but we know how to evaluate a balance sheet because we're looking for performance gaps. Just because we can review a balance sheet and a P&L and look for gaps and put strategies together doesn't mean that we should be filing taxes for you. So you want to be very careful.
I'm sorry, I'm having to mute because I'm laughing so much, chuckling so much. I'm having the best time.
You know, but when, you know, we have to think of these things, right? We have to think of these things. We got to make fun. We got to really be honest with ourselves, right? And so these are the things that you want to be honest with yourself when you are looking at yourself, when you're looking at your business, and you want to, you know what they say, less is more? That is so true. You don't have to be the end-all, be-all to everyone. You just need to be the resource, the comprehensive resource for your core competency, for your specialty. Strategic planning, day-to-day operations, streamlining, that is what we do. That's what Impact Branding does. When we start when people start wanting things outside of that scope, we make sure we either have a team member and a project team, a support team that we refer to, we collaborate with, but we don't take it in the hopes that, you know what, I know how to use Canva. I should be able to figure out how to throw a logo together. No. You can't do that.
Again,
you know,
I'm chuckling.
I played on Vimeo once or twice, so I'm going to be a videographer now. I'm going to – no.
Right. And I tell this to people all the time. 90 seconds. Wow, this went fast. You know, I hear this all the time from people. Well, I can do a website on Wix for a lot, you know, cheaper than what you're saying. Sure, you can.
No,
but
I
what
can't.
You have just, I know, don't do it. But what I will tell them was, you know, that's nice. You're going to build yourself a really pretty boat anchor. Good luck to you. I don't get that nasty, but the message gets out there. It's like, you know, and I won't build a boat anchor. If I'm going to work with a client, they have to let me have full access to or create their branded social media.
Yes.
No pre-voting.
Exactly.
So figure out what you're doing and make that offer.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I think that, I really feel that as professionals in your industry, it is our duty, it's our responsibility to serve our clients in absolute excellence and to not confuse them, to not complicate and muddy the waters. Do what you do best. Be, focus on your core competency and do it to its absolute best. You know, I constantly am looking, how do I learn more about branding? What am I missing? What am I missing about business, strategic planning? How can you make your best even better? Focus on that. Don't try to acquire some new sideline skill. Focus on what you do well and make your best even better. You will have way more added value to your clients and in the marketplace at that time.
And your brain doesn't get tired. Seriously.
Trying to keep all this together.
You can wear yourself out just saying, oh, I can do this and I can do that. Look, I can do a whole crap ton of stuff. A lot of it, I'm like, put it down, Denise. Put it down. Put it in the corner. Stop. Because it's not my core competency, and it's not what my clients, my audience wants to hear from me right now.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Natasha, it has been fascinating chatting with you, and I do apologize for there was a couple times when I wound up speaking over you. There's a bit of a delay, and I wouldn't catch it until it was just too darn late, so I am so sorry.
That's okay. We're just energetic and passionate, and that's what's happening when
there
great minds come together. All the synapses are firing. We just got to keep our
I'm telling you, I have been scribbling. I've got an index card here, and I've been scribbling all kinds of little notes on here. So before I let you go, where can people find you? And, mention the YouTube again because I think that's important, but where can people find you, find your book? And if they want to work with you, let's get that information as well.
Absolutely. So again, it's been a pleasure meeting you guys today. The best way for you to connect with me is come to the website, impactbrandingconsulting.org. That is impactbrandingconsulting.org. You'll be able to connect with me on all platforms, and you will also be able to connect to the YouTube page where you can find the 5 simple steps. Impactbrandingconsulting.org. And it's been a pleasure to serve you guys today. I'm Natasha Davis. They call me the Chief Visionary, and I look forward to connecting with you guys real soon.
Thank you, Natasha. It has been fascinating speaking with you. Seriously, I had to mute because I was just chortling a lot of the time. It's like, this is so much fun. So thank you for all of the wonderful tips and the advice and, just being here. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.